Welcome to Vision Night. How is everybody? That was almost exciting. Good job. I know it's Sunday night. It's late. That's great. So a quick recap of what we're going to do tonight. So we are all starting up here. Kids are watching a movie. There's nursery going on. We are all going to meet up here. I'm going to talk. Garrett's going to talk, who is the leader of our finance team. And then I'm going to share our theme for the year, and then we're going to go downstairs, have ice cream, and talk over some questions that we have downstairs around round tables. All right? You good? You ready? All right. So, a little recap about Renew Church. The tricky thing about starting with Vision Night is we got to start almost from the beginning. And so, there's a theme that we're going to develop tonight, and it's crawl, walk, run, all right? So 5 years ago, we started this church. Emily and I and the Downings moved from Red Wing, Minnesota over to Eau Claire to start this church. If you go to the first slide, second slide. Go to the walk slide. So we began walking. That's good. The church graphic doesn't show up back there. So we began walking, and this is our church. And so as our church began, we began this church with 30 people. And 30 people gathered together in weird places, like we were in community centers and all this stuff. We were gathered together, and we were meeting with one hope and dream in mind, and that's to start a church and do God's work in the city. If you go to the first picture here, this is that group of people in South Middle School. It was our first location. Some of you in this room were there for that. South Middle School, we were in this big auditorium, and there was maybe 30 people, 40 people, 50 people on a really good week meeting week in, week out to do this church thing. Then, now we got kicked out of the middle school, and we ended up being a little homeless for a summer. We were meeting in parks. One day we met at Panera Bread. That was horrible. And we ended up meeting in Action City. And all you could hear during the worship service was the race car track guy, the go-kart track guy. Ready, set, go. Again, not ideal. But we found our spot on Graham Avenue. And Graham Avenue, if you could see it was a huge venue for us. No, I'm kidding. Graham Avenue is probably less than one set of pews here. It was a room that was 20 by 70. And then we had the best kids' space you've ever seen in your life. All right, anybody remember? Kids' space was amazing. It was not. It was like a renovated, really bad basement. But that was the place where we grew from 30 people to 80, 90, 100 people. It gave us a home for a little over probably a year, year and a half. And we saw God do pretty cool things there. But we were still walking. And the thing about walking is in the early days when we were just starting, even at Graham Avenue, all the resources were being poured into the church. We were supported by 9 partner churches. We were supported by a denomination. We were supported by a conference. And all those people were giving money and supporting our church on a monthly basis so that we could crawl. And that's where we were at. We were crawling. We were trying to build something. And as we went, as we were faithful, as we preached the gospel, as we invited people, as we reached out in the community, more and more people came and we grew. And then we get to the walking slide. So probably a little over 2 years ago, like through an amazing story, we were able to buy this building that you're in right now. And we started to go from crawling, from just trying to crawl on the ground. Every now and then we'd try to get up, and we'd fall back down, and we started learning how to walk as a church. And we saw more people come to know Jesus. When we were crawling, the max, when we left Graham Avenue, we were 100 people Do you guys know how many people were in the house 2 weeks ago? 415. So 100 people when we moved in here. Now it's 415 people. And a ton of those are college students because of where God has placed us. And here's the thing about numbers. I don't ever want you to think, well, Jamie is impressed by big numbers. I'm really not, because those numbers can come and go. But here's the thing. Those numbers represent a story. Each one of those numbers, each one of those 415 people represent a person that came to this church to try to find Jesus and experience Jesus. And that's what we get to be a part of. We get to be a part of coming together and in some way, some shape or form, show people who Jesus is. And so this is where we are right now. We're walking. Before, there were arrows coming in as we were crawling, and people were pouring resources in, sustaining us. They were providing our monthly financials. They were doing everything they could to get us up so we could walk on our own. And now we've been walking on our own for a year. And we are growing and we're expanding. And every week there's a story of how somebody, their life is being changed. Some are in this very room. Each and every week, people meet Jesus here. Each and every week, lives are being transformed and changed. But we don't want to stop with walking. We want to end up running. And when we're running as a church, that's where we're headed. So the course of this year is we're walking right now. By the end of the year, year and a half, we want to be running. And before, when we were crawling, resources were being poured in. When we're running, resources are leaving the church. People are being blessed in the community. People are coming. They're experiencing Jesus. Their lives are being transformed. And they are then being sent back out into the community to reach people, to show people who Jesus is. So we were crawling. Right now, we're walking. And our goal is to be running by the end of the year. Amen? I'm going to continue in a little bit, but Garrett, he's the leader of our finance team, is going to come up and give us a financial update and talk about what it means to go from walking to running.
Cool. So first of all, if we haven't met, I'm Garrett. Everybody say hi, Garrett. That was pretty good. I grew up in a Norwegian and Lutheran church. That was, I think, maybe 50% of the way there. So I'm going to run through this really quickly. As Jamie said a minute ago, I'm maybe the only thing standing between all of us and a bunch of ice cream in the basement. We're going to keep this thing moving really quickly. We're going to go to the next slide, and I want to show what Jamie just talked about, crawl to walk to run. So the reason that the finance team, why we have this discussion, why this whole update is critical, is because when we think about this transition of how we've already moved from crawling to walking, and ultimately that vision for 2020, how we make that tactically possible, this is how we make that tactically possible. So we want to open our doors to more people, serve over 400 people on a weekend, and ultimately pour those resources back into the community, into our small groups, into partners around the Upper Midwest and maybe the world as well. This is how we make that happen. So you think back to that crawling stage, to what Jamie was just talking about. Lots of organizations pouring their time, their people, their money into Renew to make sure that we survive, that we continue month after month to exist, right? And the balance sheet at that point doesn't look great because we're just trying to make sure we are here next month. And we have grown past that. In fact, we're growing really, really quickly here. We can go to the next slide. And I want to kind of walk through what that looks like. So as you think about the budget, specifically in a growth church, right, we are no longer a startup church. And we're really fortunate to be in this stage of life. We're in growth stage. Where does the money go? First of all, from a very high level. Facilities, obviously, we are sitting in that right now. We've got the facility downstairs as well, the parsonage next door. There's a lot of upkeep, maintenance, taxes. You think about everything that we pay just to exist in a physical space. That's facilities. The operations. You think about our technology, what it takes to turn the lights on every time that we do a service, right? That's that bucket. And the third bucket, of course, is staff. How do we care for small groups, serve the people that are coming in these doors? Those are kind of the three main things that we look at as a team of how are we doing, where are the dollars going, right? So let's go to the next slide. So how are we doing? What does giving look like? And maybe I'll step up here and step to the side. I want to talk about two things for year to date. So this is starting in January, all the way up through end of last month, of what this looks like. The first thing is, from a very high level, we're in a good spot for walking. This is kind of what we would expect for a growth stage church that's looking to continue to serve more people as we grow. So our revenues, or our total giving rather, is kind of leveling out around 20K per month right there. Massive dip back in January into February, and then kind of pulling out of that in March. Any guesses? Just shout it out. There's nothing special about having a microphone. Snowmageddon, 30 below. That's 100% what that was. And what's really interesting is we are running an organization, this nonprofit in the community, that gets drastically impacted by weather. So one of the things we're going to talk about in a minute is how do we mitigate this? As a church body, how do we look for steady giving and steady expenses as we move through growth stage into run stage? But the second thing I want to say is from March basically through, again, year to date where we are today, through July for sure, and then August, closing out our books now as well, is this is really steady. Now what this is not is steady rocket ship growth that you would expect in running stage, right? So where are we today? Steady attendance. Pretty predictable expenses. We'll go to the next slide and you'll see that as well. But we are not seeing that massive increase that you'll expect in stage three, in running. So speaking of expenses, what does that look like? Again, we're right around that same mark, about 20K a month. You'll see some dips, some rises, you know, some seasonal things that happen with the facility, with maintenance. But really, you can kind of see this as a pretty predictable trend line. This actually puts us in a good spot, especially given our stage of life and of growth. We'll go to the next slide here. Now, the one major concern that, of course, we've got heading into winter again is could we see a repeat of January into February? And the answer, of course, is like, well, we still live in west central Wisconsin, so maybe. The good news is this drastic of impact from weather hadn't happened in years past, and we don't expect that to be a thing going into 2020. That's the good news. What we like to see, though, as we move from walking to running, is the blue line always outpacing that kind of yellowish gold line, right? Obviously, this is like business 101. You need to take in more than you're seeing flow out, right? And right now, it's pretty chaotic. So when we look at this graph, what do we see? We see a symptom of being a walking stage church. One of the biggest things that we all need to think about is how we're giving time, talents, and resources, how we make this predictable, blue always over gold, and ultimately trending upward, for the reason that when somebody walks in, we can serve them well to the standard that we want to have it renew, and we can pour out enough resources in what we call impact giving that we can feel good about that as well. We should have a hard target every year that we're trying to nail here in Eau Claire, in our backyard, in the upper Midwest, and the world. Next slide. So what does net look like? I won't spend a bunch of time on this. We kind of just talked about this. You can see, again, Snowmageddon hits, but net, we've got some positive months, a few months below that zero line, but what's our net giving, net income after giving expenses are factored in? Again, we want to see this positive, and we want to see this consistent. That's really kind of the thought process behind finance team at Renew, is we are in walk stage. This looks like walk stage. Doing good. You're kind of hovering along. We want to get to run stage. What does that look like? Next slide. So here's what this looks like, and I'm calling this learning to run because this helps contextualize the finance team. It can be the most boring update if we don't do this right, and if we talk about just dollars, just needing more dollars, and what we're going to do with those dollars. But really, we need to talk about the impact that dollars have at Renew. A lot of different ways that we can be called to give our time, our talent, and our dollars, but specifically at Renew, what are we trying to accomplish? Well, in walk phase, we have a staff that is very nimble, but it's at full capacity. We've got finances with some church debt, some cushion in the bank, but we're not really doing a great job of reporting on that, right? This is probably the first time that maybe 90% of this room has seen me and heard my name. That's not okay. And impact, it's pretty informal, and it's low total impact as a percentage of our budget. And what are we talking about? 2020, do more, right? We're going to hear that from Jamie in just a second here, but how do we grow that impact using the finance as a piece of that? So moving to run, you move from that walk stage in yellow to run stage in green. We need to scale up the team to help the organization scale. You think of all the different ways we're touching people that walk in the door through small groups, through worship, through getting connected in the community and ultimately pouring back out into Eau Claire, that's a key piece of it. We as an operations team here at the church, they need to be able to scale with that. Finances, pay off church debt, and regularly report on finance. So that's something that our team is taking on. We're going to be sending out regular quarterly giving, and you'll see that later on, but look for that heading into 2020. That needs to be a regular cadence of, how's the church actually doing? We hear a lot about volunteering and impact. What about that third one? How's the finance doing? We need to know that as well. And then finally, on the impact bucket, new partnerships and increased giving as well to our community, to those partners in the community. We want to see that be a hard target and succeed at hitting that target every year. That's kind of how we're thinking about this from a high level. So next slide. So what does our roadmap look like? I work in software. I'm going to use a lot of software terms. What's our roadmap for the next maybe six-ish months? Well, first of all, September, vision night. That's tonight. We want feedback. We're going to get a chance to give direct feedback right after this downstairs. Give us feedback. We want to read all of that before we roll into October. New fiscal year, 2020 budget starts then. So we're moving our fiscal up to October so it follows these vision nights. And going into the future, that will always be a repeatable thing we can have. Now, the remainder of the year, we're building our reserves back up in response to Snowmageddon in February and getting ready for 2020 goals. So next slide. So what can we all do? That was a lot of great words from this small team that's kind of putting together some shiny slides. What do we need to do when we leave the building tonight? I think that's what I'm going to be thinking about. We should all take this home. After we go downstairs, have our ice cream, we need to think about these three things. First of all, think about giving in 2019. And I want you to review specifically your giving to Renew in 2019. Not a call to give more, a call to think about and verify what you gave. Make sure that if you're on auto giving, go home and just verify that. And if you're saying, man, we're doing quarterly, we've got whatever special kind of business in the family, we give when we can, awesome. Give some thought to what 2019 looked like and set a baseline. Then as we head into 2020, skipping to that third one, be intentional. And if that means, hey, we're in a tough place right now, and we're going to struggle and try to meet that same baseline, that's awesome. We want to be walking with you right there to hit that same goal. And if it's an increase as well, that is awesome as well. Think about the vision. Think about what Jamie's about to say. But this middle one, I specifically want to give a call out. If you are maybe under the age of like 40, this feels supernatural because we bill pay, we buy stuff, we've grown up doing financial transactions online. And if this feels foreign and you're like, I don't know, I like the offering plate, I drop stuff when I come in, think about checking out Tithely for the only reason that, again, it helps us move from walk to run. It gives us predictability in how we're measuring the finances of the church. And ultimately, when you look to run, look to give more, look to have greater community impact, that's a tool that can help us get there. So think about that. Go home, check it out, Google Tithely. And I think that's my last slide. So I'll hand it back to Jamie.
That was amazing. So a story that man, always captures my heart and imagination is a story of Zacchaeus. Do you know the story of Zacchaeus? If you grew up in church, you know the little song that goes along with it. You can sing it if you'd like. People next to you will say something to you. But Zacchaeus, he sees Jesus. He tries to get a view at Jesus. And then he has this encounter with Jesus. And Jesus like has this encounter with this guy who is off limits to the rest of the community. Like, this is the guy that is extorting us. This is the guy that is taking money away from us. This is the guy that's putting my family in danger. And Jesus goes to his house. And that alone is phenomenal. But what happens next is even more phenomenal. There is a transformation in Zacchaeus' life when he encounters Jesus. And what's the result of that transformation? Generosity. He gives his money away. He actually pays back people more than what he took from them. Like, there is a justice issue here. There is a generosity issue here. But in the core of it all, it is a life change, a transformation that had Zacchaeus completely change the way he lived. And that is what I hope for our church. There's a couple things that I'm excited about, and it's our theme for this next year. It's a theme called Made for More. And it's the theme we're going to chase after all year long. Every sermon series is going to be birthed out of this theme. And so there's two aspects to this. There's a you aspect, and then there's a church aspect. In the you aspect, there is life transformation. There is people meeting Jesus and being absolutely transformed by giving their lives to him. There is a community aspect that when you join the church, when you get involved in community, you find community. And then there is a mission aspect. See, you are made for more than just living your everyday life. You and I, we are on mission when we follow Jesus. We have a call, we have a purpose, we have a reason for living this life. Jesus has gifted us, put us in a place, put us in a season to do what he's planned for us to do. There's a you aspect of that, made for more, but there's also a church aspect. And as a church, we are made for more than just being inside these four walls. So a big focus, a big goal for this next year is to solidify and increase local partnerships in the community so that we can get out in the community and make a major impact in the name of Jesus in this community. There's also going to be a goal of developing at least one global partnership this next year. And then a longer range goal that as a church, we are to reproduce as a church. And so one of the ways that we'll look as attendance grows sooner or later, we're going to add on a third service. But then years down the road, it is in our view, in our sight to plant another church in the community to do ministry together and reach more people. So this year, we are chasing after being, we are made for more. You are made for more in Christ. We are made for more as a church. And then one more thing I want to talk about is that as a church, you can see the next slide. You can see there's all these cogs, all these gears that make the church run. Who are the cogs and the gears? Liam raised his hand. That is amazing. Adults, you should listen. Liam says, us. Yes, us. We are the gears that work together. We are the gears that Jesus puts together to make the ministry happen. And so this year, we are, it's long overdue, but we are introducing what we are going to call, you can become a door holder. And a door holder, if you've been in other churches, it is our membership. It's what other churches call membership. We are going to call door holders. And there's a reason for that. If you look through the Old Testament, there were door holders. If you look in Psalm 84, I have it here, but it says, I'd rather be... find it. I can't find it. I'd rather dwell in the house of the Lord and be a door holder in the house of the Lord than dwell in the house of the wicked. And in the Old Testament, there's this idea, the door holders were the people that served. They were the people that gave. They were the people that came together and they experienced Jesus, and they experienced Jesus so much so that they wanted to hold the doors open for others that weren't, that hadn't come through yet. So as door holders of Renew, it's going to be a commitment to join together, to be gears together, that work together to serve. And being people that have experienced Jesus, we are going to commit to then hold the doors open so that other people who have not yet experienced Jesus can come in and have their lives absolutely transformed. So the invitation, one of the many invitations tonight is, you'll see it downstairs, we have a card, an I'm In card. One of the invitations is, I want to become a door holder. I want to be somebody who serves, who holds the door open so that other people can experience Jesus. So that, we are going to flesh this out a lot more over time, but that gives you a nutshell. Our theme for this year, Made for More. We are in a place where we are walking, and our goal is to start running. And there's the invitation to say, I'm in. So what I want to do now, ice cream is waiting. So I want to break from here. Adam's going to come up and pray for us and bless us. We're going to walk downstairs. You can grab ice cream, find a table. Adults will be down in the lounge, and there's a sit around and grab a page of questions that we'll kind of talk through. And if you're a middle school or high school student, grab ice cream, eat as much as you possibly can, and head into the fireside room where the youth leaders have a whole page of questions they want answers to. All right? Adam, can you come on up?
I'm gonna steal this. You can go. It's cool. You stay? Do you go? I don't know. Where's Philippians? I was going to pray something else over us, but as Jamie and Garrett were talking, this is tiny print, Jamie. God put Philippians 2 on my heart. So I'm going to read this for you and close it with a prayer, but hear this whole thing as a prayer that I think, even though it wasn't written to us, I think God has this to say to us. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort in his love, if any sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow on heaven and on earth and under the earth, and in every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, church, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So do everything without grumbling, without arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation, because then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Jesus, we cannot do that without you. We are too small, too selfish, too broken. We don't know what we're doing. We're really good at living for ourselves. We're not so good at living for each other or for your world. We confess this and we ask that you transform our hearts. Through your power, Jesus, make our minds like yours, make our hearts like yours, make our lives like yours, where we seek the good of one another, the good of this world and of our community. Teach us how to sacrifice for your kingdom. And Jesus, my prayer is that this church, the people who make it up, will be shining like stars, testifying to who you are so that many may know you. May this be so. Amen. Okay, you can go downstairs. Grab the paper, grab the ice cream.